The following message is by Pastor Mike Willis. For more information from Harvest Bible Chapel North Raleigh, go to www.harvestnorthraleigh.org.
All right, Harvest, let's take a seat. Grab your Bibles and turn to Hebrews 11 and Genesis 12. Hebrews 11 and Genesis 12. All right, the title of the sermon is By Faith, Abraham Obeyed the Promise. Tonight we're talking about Abraham, and this year we want to be full of faith. Faith is really a front row seat to who God is and what God is doing. Faith is an exciting thing because we have a lot to believe and a lot to look forward to, and we're going to see that example in the life of Abraham. In God's word, the greatest example of faith is, who would you think? Abraham, all right? His name is synonymous with faith. He lived 4,000 years ago, and 2,000 years ago, during the time of Jesus and when the New Testament was being written, his name was mentioned 75 plus times in the New Testament. So his example, his life of faith was relevant then, and therefore it is relevant now for us. I want to read you a really amazing passage in Nehemiah. So the people of God are fasting, and the priests, they stand up, and they're giving this blessing to the Lord. They're praising the Lord, and they make mention of Abraham and Abraham's God. And we fast here at Harvest, and we praise the Lord here at Harvest. And today we're talking about Abraham, so this is a great passage to intro the sermon. This is Nehemiah 9, 6, and 8, 6 through 8. It says, "You are the Lord, you alone, you have made heaven, the heaven of heavens with all their host, the earth and all that is on it, the seas and all that is in them, and you preserve all of them, and the host of heaven worships you. You are the Lord, the God who chose Abram and brought him out of Ur of the Chaldeans and gave him the name Abraham. You found his heart faithful before you and made with him the covenant to give to his offspring the land of the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Perizzite, the Jebusite, and the Girgashite. And you have kept your promise, for you are righteous." Right? That's a worship service. That's God's people fasting. And this is what the priests stand up and proclaim to God. And they make mention of this man named Abraham who had faith and whom God used. And that is our desire, to know God and to be used by God and to live this life as a life of faith. All right? So Hebrews 11, 8 through 10 is our text today. And it gives a snapshot of who Abraham was and what he did. So let me read this. It says, "By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God." Awesome, right? So how does faith affect your decision-making? How does faith affect your obedience? How does faith affect your personal ministry? And we're going to see faith affecting Abraham in all of these ways. The big idea today is by faith, obey the promise. All right? By faith, obey the promise. Let me pray. Father, we are before you. Our Bibles are open. We have been singing to you. You are in our presence, and we praise you, God. You are a present God. You are powerful. You are working in us, God. You are providing, and we pray that right now in this moment, you would provide for all of us an understanding and open hearts of this text, God. Would you make it come alive as only your Spirit can, so that we would understand faith and apply faith in our lives, God, and that we would live for you, that we would see you And because we see you, we would live by faith in you, God. Would you do this now as we go through this passage and the story of Abraham together? In Jesus' name and by your Spirit, amen. Amen. All right, so here's the first point. Obey by faith God's purpose for you, right? Obey by faith God's purpose for you. So here's Hebrews 11:8 again. It says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. All right? A pretty incredible text. Things that he didn't know about, but he was still going. So turn with me to Genesis 12, and we're going to look at this story. We'll be in Genesis 12 a lot. And this is where we'll be just right now. So Genesis 12, 1 through 3 is what Hebrews 8 is talking about. It says, now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. That is the covenant that the Lord is beginning to ratify with Abraham. And God promised Abraham three things: land, seed, and blessing. All right, just three helpful words whittled down to one word each: land, seed, and blessing. Land is the promised land, Canaan. Seed is a great nation, all right, people. Abraham would be the patriarch of the 12 tribes of Israel. And this is a man at this time who didn't have a son. All right, and then blessing is chosen and favored by God so that he could be a blessing to others. Land, seed, and blessing. We learn from elsewhere in Genesis that God appeared to Abraham in his glory, and God lists this to him. I'm going to give you land, I'm going to give you blessing, and I'm going to give you seed. It's a pretty amazing call, isn't it? Pretty amazing. And Abraham had a choice before him. Because God didn't give him the address. God didn't give him the name of the city. God didn't specify what the exact inheritance would be. There's a lot of details that God left out. Do you see that? There's a lot of details left out. And it's not like Abraham needed a new situation. All right, Abraham was blessed with a large family. His family was with him, and he was settled, and he was wealthy, and he was at home. All right? How many of you love home? I love home. When I travel, I love coming home. When I'm home, I love home, right? I love being where my family and my loved ones are. I love home. We can say that Abraham was comfortable. He was in his comfort zone. All right, so I want you to read to me the first four words of Hebrews 11, verse 8. All right, read to me those first four words. It says what? By faith, Abraham obeyed. All right? By what did Abraham obey? By faith, Abraham obeyed. Now, when you think about your obedience, when you think about the way that you obey what God says in his word, do you think about faith? Do you, by faith, obey? It's a very important question, clearly, because there's four words that say, by faith he obeyed. And we see throughout Scripture that his faith was credited to him as righteousness, meaning he was saved. The entire theology of justification by faith is developed from this, from Abraham. We are justified by faith in Jesus Christ. So this is so important. He, by faith, obeyed. Right? Here's an amazing thing about Abraham. God's word says that he fulfilled the law, right? God's word says that he fulfilled the law. Now think about that. It's a very interesting statement. And here's why it's interesting. Because Abraham preceded the law. The law hadn't been given yet. Moses wasn't born yet. The Ten Commandments, Mount Sinai thing hadn't happened yet. How could he fulfill the law? I don't understand, right? It's interesting. He fulfilled the law by the obedience of faith. He had real faith in God, and God saw Abraham's heart that it was full of faith in him, and God therefore called him righteous. In Genesis 15, 6, he was righteous by faith. He was justified by faith, and from his heart that is full of faith, he obeyed. Isn't that amazing? He fulfilled the law by loving God, by placing his faith in God. The first thing for him was not rules. It wasn't obedience. Those were important, but those were the outflow of his faith in God because he was looking right at God and he says, whatever you say, I will do, because he was enamored with God's power and his presence and his provision, and he trusted it, and he left where he was and he went. So by what do you obey? All right, do you obey by willpower? All right, I do. Do you? Willpower is like, I can do this in my own strength. And do you obey by self-righteousness? Meaning, I am worthy of God, and I'm going to do this thing so that I am lauded, right? It's like the boast post on Facebook, right? I did this thing, check me out, self-righteousness, look at me, right? And then praise of man is another one. I want people to honor me, right? Praise of man. That's three reasons why a lot of people obey. And Abraham obeyed by faith God's purpose for him. He was saying, God is awesome, so I am going to obey. He said, God created me, so I trust him. He said, God is all-knowing, so I will do whatever he says without fear. We think about faith and we think about obedience and we think about our call and what's our purpose in life and what's this special detailed little thing that God wants me to do, and hopefully it's a really big thing. We spend a lot of time maybe figuring out what that is, but the biggest hurdle is not learning necessarily what that thing is. The biggest hurdle is having the faith in God to do that thing, right? That's why all of us, to some extent, are sitting on the couch and not doing necessarily the thing that God would have us to do. Being bold in this area of life, or believing God for this thing, or saying this to someone. Most of us, the hurdle is not what to do, but the faith to do it. And God is saying to us, come out wherever you are. All right? Like the kids' game, hide and seek. They're like, come out wherever you are. Right? Wherever you are. Wherever you're sitting still and not obeying by faith God, come out wherever you are. Wherever you are sitting on something and an opportunity that could bring God glory that he is leading you to do, come out wherever you are, to the Lord, to his presence, to his power, to his provision, and follow him and trust him and get your eyes off of yourself. Listen, Abraham wasn't a perfect guy. He had his eyes on himself. We'll see that in Genesis 15, 2. He doubted himself and his ability, but he quickly got his eyes back on the Lord and said, all right, God, I am with you. You are God. I am not. You're telling me this. I am going. I trust you. And God saw his faith. Though the outer shell was weak, like it is for all of us, his faith was strong. And he is lauded throughout all of Scripture for his faith. Come out and live by faith in God. Come out of your fears. Come out of your insecurities. Come out of your calculations. Come out of your comfort zones and live by faith in God, right? You look at who God is and you say, yeah, I'm going to follow him for sure, right? You look at what he says and resolve, this God's word is inerrant and awesome. You look at where God is taking all of this world, everything that's happening, and you board his train. You look at your hands and you open them to the Lord and say, use these, God, for your glory. You look at your tongue and you determine to use it for the Lord. You look at your smarts and you give them to God's purposes, and you look at your feet and you aim them to take the good news of Jesus to people who need it. You live by faith in God because he is the one who is strong. Obey by faith God's purpose for you. And here's a second point. Live by faith in the promise being delivered. Live by faith in the promise being delivered. Let's turn over to Hebrews 11, verse 9. Hebrews 11, verse 9. It says, by faith, he went to live in the land of promise. As in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. All right, I told you before, I am not a big fan of camping. All right, I'm just not. It's not my thing. And in the last few months, multiple people have asked me or our family or whatever to go camping, and I just pretty instantly say, it's not my thing, man. I'm not that into it, right? So I'm like, you know, I'm tired. And camping to me equals a bad night of sleep, all right? And while I'm asleep, there's a root that's like impaling my kidney. And there's a mosquito that is landing on my eardrum, all right? And then I hear like a twig snap and I think it's a bear or like a murderer and I can't sleep, right? That's camping. The whole time I'm camping, I'm like, why am I here? This is a lot of work. People for millennia camped and then they stopped camping and built homes, right? Why camp? Then you're in the camp and you think, awesome, the meteorologist got it wrong, it's raining, right? Abraham moved from his home to live in tents for the rest of his life. He was full of faith in God's promise. He left what he had built. He left his wealth. He left all of these things and went to follow God's plan. Why? Because he believed God. He believed that God would deliver on the promise that he had given to him. He believed that God was up to something grand, and he got on board even if it meant camping. All right? He lived in tents. And he taught his son Isaac and his grandson Jacob to do the same. All right, imagine those conversations. Like, so dad, so grandpa, you used to live in a house? And they're like, yeah, I did, but this is God's plan. Right? Imagine the impact and the influence that would have had on his son and on his grandsons, hearing that and seeing that in his dad and their dad and their grandpa living by faith. I want to show you something really amazing. This is Genesis 12, 4 through 9. So turn back there. We're doing a lot of back and forth, and we'll do that all year as we're in Hebrews 11, Genesis 12, 4 through 9. And I want you to pick up on three city names, three regions that are mentioned, okay? It says, so Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they set out to go to the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there, he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west of Ai and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on, still going toward the Negev. All right, I want to show you this map. Take a look at this. And so you see Ur of the Chaldeans over on the right, that's where he was. Now, this is before the days of cars and planes and trains and automobiles, right? This is camels and donkeys and foot walking, all right? They walked all the way to Haran, were there for a little bit, and then went down along the Mediterranean Sea to Shechem, the northern city that is mentioned throughout the Old Testament and becomes a major epicenter of religion and of worship to the Lord. Then Bethel, same thing, same a powerful place for God's presence and the worship of him. And then below Jerusalem in that Canaan area is the Negev, the southern area. And these are three places where Abram went camping in tents with Isaac, the son he would one day have, and Jacob. And God is appearing to him and saying, I am going to give you and your descendants this land. And the first thing that he does is he builds an altar of worship. And back then, an altar of worship is just big stones, and they would pick them up and put them there, and they would build it so that when they come back through that place, they would remember, this is where God said that thing, and it would remind them to believe God. It was a reminder, right? It's like a string around their finger, except it's way more significant because it is a pile of rocks that reminded them to worship the Lord. So in this pagan place, they are worshiping God. They are setting up altars for his glory. In those moments, they were living by faith. They were worshiping God in a dark, dark pagan place. And these are the three places that Joshua is going to go during the conquest, except Joshua and all those guys, they're not going to worship the Lord quite like Abraham did. And they're not going to obey the Lord full of faith quite like Abraham did. All right? And it's going to go not as well. These places are mentioned by David and the kings of Israel. Places of worship would be established now. But for now, for Abraham, camping. Just a tent, setting up shop there for a little bit, moving on to the next thing as God told him to go, setting up a rock altar to the Lord, an altar of remembrance of God promising something. Just tents. Then God said, go from Shechem to Bethel. And he would get up and move his family again and go. And what God is doing is he's leading him, and Abraham is still full of faith. And Abraham has no idea the details of what God is actually going to do. We see it. We see that these places are going to be major epicenters of worship. We see that these cities and these regions are going to be named over and over and over about the worship of God. And Abraham's not seeing all of that, but he's full of faith that it's going to happen. He's full of faith that it's going to happen. On the one hand, we know exactly what we're doing when we obey by faith today, right? We know exactly what we're doing because we want to honor God and we want to do things right. And we know that God is going to be honored today. And on the other hand, we know that when we're living by faith and when we're doing things for his glory, we have no idea what God is going to do with that. We have no idea what fruitfulness he's going to bring about because of our obedience today. And that's just absolutely exciting to me. It's thrilling to me knowing that I can live by faith today, by obedience today in God. And that he is using it for his glory and is going to turn it into something and multiply it into something that I won't see with my own eyes, maybe until I get to heaven with the Lord. That is a thrilling thing about God, a thrilling, thrilling thing, that he is the God who gives us today and he's the God who promises for us tomorrow. And Abraham's example is to believe both. So let me give you some examples. You maturing in Jesus is good for you today, and God is going to use the maturity that you have today in the future. Yet you don't know exactly how. But it's exciting, and it's reason for you to be in the Word and to pray and to minister and to memorize Scripture and to train yourself and equip yourself in ministry. Your work this coming week that is full of integrity and hope for good in this world, and your intentional conversations with coworkers will be used by God in ways that you may never see, right? You serving in the community today, but we may not see like God, the impact that it will have on the people and the impact that they may spread also. You're investing in a life today and that life is changed and that life changes others' lives. You're 80 minutes every third week serving in Harvest Kids. It makes an impact today and is discipling a generation of future teens and college students and marriages and parents and coworkers who will worship and serve God for his glory, right? We go to Harvest High Point and we go to the Kwatai to serve and to share the gospel, yet we don't see how many people are going to come to faith and be changed and be fruitful for the Lord until heaven when we're standing around God's throne singing with them, holy, holy, holy. Your open door of hospitality for your neighbors and friends, even if fruitless this week or this month when you do that, it may ultimately welcome them through the door, Jesus Christ, as they too come to faith. But you might never see that. You might just be the person who invests in them this week, this month, right? On the one hand, we know exactly what we're doing, and we do that by faith and obedience. And on the other hand, we have no idea what God is doing, and we trust him anyway. All right? We can simultaneously make awesome, God-glorifying, obedient decisions and simultaneously know that when we do that, God will use it for his glory and work it all together for good. So if you are weary of ministering to people with just little fruitfulness, as often I can be, and as Jesus was, and as Paul was. This is mightily encouraging and profoundly thrilling. God is the grand weaver, as Ravi Zacharias has said, weaving together threads into his grand plan. Right? There's an element of God's design of us now that is that's limited. Not that he is limited, but he's limited us so that we need faith. And he's given us Christians faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love, but one of those is faith. And it is a tool for us to get through this world. It's like a pair of glasses, and we put them on. We see God, and we see what he's doing, and it helps us forward in this world to believe him and what he is doing. For me, knowing this and living by faith in the promises that God is delivering is the motivation to keep reading the Bible to my kids every night when one of them is like taking off their PJs and the other one of them is running out the door and the other one of them is like stabbing the other with a toothbrush, all right? All right? That is reason for me to keep reading to them and keep praying for them. It's the motivation for all of us to keep praying for people while they're like Mach 3 going in the wrong direction away from God, because God will answer prayers even if we don't necessarily see them. And is this not the motivation for your own obedience when every single current around you in this world is telling you that's not natural? Don't be supernatural. Don't be spiritual. Don't do that. We live spiritually for the Lord because we know God is right. Live by faith in the promise being delivered. All right. So all of that's super exciting, right? And surely it couldn't get any better, right? But we're learning that when we read God's word, it does get better, all right? Because Abraham, as we see in verse 10 of Hebrews 11, isn't just thinking about the physical things. He's not just thinking about the land. He's not just thinking about Canaan. He's not just thinking about seed and his sons and all of their generations. He's not even thinking about the way that he will be blessed and that he will bless others. He's thinking about God. In verse 10, we see Abraham's heart. Look at this. It says, "For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God." So, yes, he's talking there about Canaan. And yes, he's talking about future Jerusalem. But yes, he's also talking about the new Jerusalem, heaven. All right, he's talking about the city with foundations whose designer and builder is God. See, faith isn't limited to the things on this earth. I think one of the greatest temptations that we have is faith in a better tomorrow, faith in this big thing for me. And that wasn't Abraham's faith. That's not why he celebrated throughout Scripture. He celebrated throughout Scripture because his faith was in God and God's power and his ability. His faith was in God himself. Abraham's descendants would ultimately settle in the promised land, and they'd build Jerusalem, and they'd worship the Lord there. But this is about an even better promised land. It's about heaven. Revelation 21 and 22, all right? But it doesn't even stop there. Right, for Abraham, it's not even just about heaven, all right? It keeps getting better, all right? But wait, there's more, all right? I feel like one of those commercial salesman guys that's got like the little microphone on his face, and he's like, bam, if you call now in the next few minutes, you can, right? But wait, there's more. That's what's happening in this text. Abraham's faith was so long-seeing. It was looking through all the material things. It was even looking past material heaven, because the best thing, the thing that's really being delivered, that God is really delivering, is he is delivering himself. He's delivering himself in his presence to Abraham. And that is what Abraham is most excited about. Beyond the promised land, beyond the foundations of Jerusalem, beyond the foundations of the new Jerusalem heaven, he is excited about the presence of God eternal, the joyful nearness of God. That is true heaven, God's presence. Abraham was full of faith in God. He wanted God. He didn't care what God told him or gave him. Here, he wanted God. And God saw into his heart and called him righteous. Genesis 15:1, it says, I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. What's the reward? God says, I am the reward. Can you think like that? Can you change the way that you think from the reward that's something future in this world before you pass away here? Can you change your reward to even think beyond heaven and make your reward God himself? Your exceedingly great reward. Genesis 15:6 says, and Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. Galatians 3:29, an amazing verse that lumps us in. It says, and if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. That same promise of heaven delivered, of God delivered, placing faith in God's plan. And God's plan is Jesus Christ. When you're saved by placing your faith in God's plan and none other, that's just the beginning. Oh, that we would live by faith and not just have faith. That we would live by faith, that we would be full of faith. Not that we would be faithful in things and obedience, but full of faith that cause obedience, right? Abraham's faith wasn't in a land, it was in the Lord. Abraham's faith wasn't in a better tomorrow, it was in eternity with God. His faith wasn't in himself. He placed his faith in the Lord, right? So what's God's purpose for you? It's an important question. It's a word that we used in point one. Generally, your purpose is to love God and love others. That's the great commandment. And that's the commandment that he fulfilled by being full of faith. He loved God and he loved others. Also, it's to go into the world and to make disciples, baptizing them and teaching them all that Jesus has taught us. To go into the world and make disciples. It's also walking with God and obeying him by faith. And it's running the race of the prize. Toward the prize, finally reunited with God in his physical presence, all right? We all share these. These are the general things, and I would venture to put like a percentage on it and say this is 95% about what it's about for each of us. These things, the great commandment, the great commission, walking with Christ. And then the other five is a result of those other ones, and those are the specific things that God has you doing personally, but so often we can look at those five and forget the rest. And Abraham had the rest nailed, and he was so ready to do the five. And I want us to live like that. I want me to live like that. I want us to be full of faith. So harvest. Obey by faith God's purpose for you, all right? And live by faith in the promise being delivered. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for the life of Abraham, and we thank you for making his story known to us and making it so explicit in your word that it is only by faith in you that we can be saved. It is faith that helps us forward in this life. It's faith in you and your power and your presence and your provision. And we see that in Abraham's life, and we give you glory for it, God. I pray that as you are calling us to come out wherever we are, that we would. And that we would, rather than looking in fear at the opportunities that are before us and the things that maybe you want us to do, the things that you've placed in our hearts, I pray that we would live by faith in you, in your power, in your presence, in your provision, and stop thinking so much about ourselves and our comforts and our calculations, God, and to go for it. And God, it's very easy, even for me personally right now, to feel like I am just talking and speaking this out. God, I want to live it. I want to be full of faith. I want all of us to truly be full of faith and to get our eyes fixed on you. God, we love you and we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the cross. We thank you that through him we are justified by our faith. We place our faith in the cross. We place our faith in Jesus, his substitution for us, dying in our place so that we can be reconciled to you. Abraham, God, didn't know the exact nature of what details were coming, but he believed in your plan, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Would we believe in your plan? Your plan is Jesus, It is the only plan. Would we place our full faith in him? And would we live full of faith today and this week? God, we love you and we thank you in the strong name of Jesus and by the present power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Harvest, let's stand together. We're going to sing a great song, one of my favorites. It's called Our God is Greater. Appropriate, right? Our God is greater. Let's sing together.